Hello, I'm Joe Riley. This is the third Friday of the month, a time when we'd usually have an episode of Downtown Depot with Austin Meek on the air. With the weather we had this week, it's understandable that he and his guest were unable to make it to the studio. We had first planned on rebroadcasting the New Year's Day episode with Austin and Waco Mayor Dylan Meek. At the last minute, we reached out to Mayor Meek, and we have him in the studio with us now. Full disclosure, we are recording this conversation at 10:30 this morning. We are so very happy that you made the time to be here with us, Mayor. Just glad to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks so much for having me. It's a real privilege to get to be here today and talk to you, as well as give our citizens and our community an update on some of the things going on here in town.
Did you ever imagine a week like this?
Yeah, I don't believe so. I think it's been the last 365 days or so have been a year of surprises, and this level of a winter storm in Waco is certainly unprecedented and certainly something that I didn't anticipate.
There are several things I'd love for us to talk about, and we can add to that as much as you want. But certainly water, mm-hmm. power and heat, yep. the roads, food, sure. other areas. And in the middle of everything, the city council approved a new police chief
That's
this
right.
week.
Yep.
So there's an awful lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with water.
Sure.
The latest I saw from you was you were asking people to check for leaks.
Mm-hmm.
What is it with water and saving water right now?
Sure. Thanks for asking that, Joe. And while I think none of us could have anticipated a winter storm like this, what I'm thankful for is that we have a city staff and a city team who is prepared for any challenge and any set of disasters. And so in moments like this, even though most everyday citizens would have never thought we would see the conditions we have, our team has really been able to respond quickly and proactively to try to keep every Wacoan safe. So let's start with water. We have two water treatment facilities. One is called our Riverside Water Treatment Facility. The other one is called our Mount Carmel Water Treatment Facility. A couple days ago, the Riverside Water Treatment Facility lost power. And normally this wouldn't be a big deal because we can really maintain our water supply through our other water treatment facility. That's a testament to Waco's great planning from a water infrastructure perspective. But as many folks wouldn't find totally surprising in these temperatures, there started to be cold weather related malfunctions at our Mount Carmel site then. This created a real problem with our water capacity. This combined with a lot of consumption lately, as well as a lot of leaks around town, means that there's a lot of water being used in our community, much more than usual. Again, a lot of this is because of water-related leaks. Our city staff was able to quickly bring repairs to our Mount Carmel facility, and through some advocacy efforts, we were able to restore power to our Riverside Water Treatment Facility to ensure that Wacoans will have access to clean, drinkable water. And as a result of a diligent, excellent, hardworking staff, we've been able to, as I sit here right now, when you turn on your sink, you have clean drinking water, and I am thankful for our staff's effort for this. But our water supply is still low because of the leaks that we're seeing in our community, there's a lot of consumption happening. Water is, we're using more water in the community than we're able to almost produce it right now. And our production is slowly starting to catch up, but we still have dire capacity concerns. So here's some asks for you. Number one, please minimize consumption to the extent possible. Certainly don't hoard water. Try to hand wash dishes. Don't run your dishwasher. Don't run your washing machines at this time. Please wait until Monday to do that. We are also asking restaurants to use paper products over the weekend, and businesses and residents alike to try to reduce water usage by 50%, so that we can recharge and make sure that we don't lose more water capacity at this time. We want to make sure people still have drinkable water, but we also want to make sure that our firefighters have water to go fight fires. We have worked really hard to procure alternative methods to fight fires in the event that our water supply becomes in a dangerous space. and I'm thankful for that. But that is the primary goal right now. There's parts of Waco that don't have water. It's limited and small, isolated areas where there's been a major leak, where we're working to make repairs on those areas. We were able to procure, our city staff was able to creatively and smartly reached out to Coca-Cola, who donated 6 18-wheelers of water, bottled water. So this morning, our fire department and our police officers were going out to these small pockets of the city and giving them water. Right now, we have there are about 46,000 households in Waco that are water customers, and about 300 of them don't have water right now because of a major repair that is ongoing in their little that little pocket of the city. And again, that's not one clump; that's little section, little pockets spread around the city. And we're diligently working to make those repairs. And in the meantime, our police officers and firefighters are delivering bottled water to those homes. On the whole, I'm grateful for the diligent work of our staff to make sure that most of our city has access to drinkable water. And I'm anticipating more repairs to happen quickly in the moments ahead.
The you say it's clean, drinkable water. We had heard of boil notices. Are there not any boil notices right
there,
now?
Right now, it's either a like I said, these small pockets where we had to turn off a valve because of a major leak ongoing, and we're about to make a repair there. There's a couple of these pockets where there's a valve break or where we've had to turn off a valve. And this is a block or two, you know, where we shut off a valve that would contain like a block or two of homes. And again, that total is 300 out of our 46,000 residents residential households that are water providers. They don't have water right now. As a part of having water shut off, you do get a boil water notice because the water will need to be tested by the city before it's potable again. But that's the situation right now, Joe.
So there are other communities besides the city of Waco. I know you're responsible within the city of Waco, but there are other communities around the city of Waco that contract with Waco for water. Do some of these same restrictions apply to them
The same, yes. The same recommendations and restrictions do apply to them. We are working closely with those cities, and I know that our city manager has authority under a drought contingency plan as the primary water provider to work with those cities and restrict water usage by large commercial water consumers as needed. We're exploring that right now, but it's looking like some of our commercial users we'll be entering into some sort of arrangement where there's water control plans over the weekend with some of our large commercial water users. And that will include users outside of the city of Waco, but that use city of Waco water.
Do you know offhand which communities outside of Waco contract for Waco
water?
I
don't have that list in front of me, but it's many. McGregor, Robinson, Hewitt, these are cities that contract with the city of Waco for water, Woodway, but I don't have that list in front of me.
And you say the fire department has enough water right now?
Right now, the fire department does have enough water. Again, capacity continues to be a concern. So, I mean, I think the areas that we're monitoring, you know, it's you know, one or two bad things that go wrong could result in a more significant concern. But in this moment, we're in a good position. Our city staff has procured additional tanks of water from our Texas Department of Emergency Management for firefighting. We've secured ways to literally pump water from the Brazos River if we need to. So we've come up with alternative methods to fight fires in an event that water capacity becomes a greater concern. But in this moment, we're able to do so.
What about power? What do you know about the power situation right now?
I do know that I don't have the most recent numbers this morning, but I do know that more and more Wacoans are getting power back. As a reminder, the city of Waco doesn't have any authority or control over the electric utility system. So we're not responsible for providing power. We're not responsible for or able to repair power. Here's what we have done. We've worked really hard to advocate for our city by calling Texas Public Utilities Commission Executive Director, ERCOT, Oncor, and others to really advocate for a rapid restoration of power. I plan to, like I'm sure many community leaders, plan to inquire into why so many lost power for so long in our community, and advocate for systemic changes that would prohibit a situation like this from happening again. But the city of Waco is not an electric utility provider, and we've worked really hard to, again, advocate for our community as well as partner in any way we can with Oncor in this time. We were quick to set up warming centers in city community centers, and as well as partner with churches. And our fire department and our Waco Transit team offered transportation to these warming centers. And so I think that we tried to respond as promptly as we could while we had very little control. And that's a hard place to be in. But we have, again, worked hard to advocate and provide a respite for those in need in this moment.
I know when this first came on, I remember getting a press release actually from Larry Holsey about power, the traffic signals being out, that so many traffic signals were out around town that the city did not have enough stop signs to put out mm-hmm. for all the traffic signals. Mm-hmm. So, and I just bring that up because the city itself is may not have control and not be a provider of power, but mm-hmm. the city is a user
sure.
of power, yeah. and that these blackouts affected mm-hmm. the city as mm-hmm. well. Where does the city fall in, not just now, but in general, in priority mm-hmm. For power uses when it comes to something like this?
That's a great question, Joe, and I think that's something that we're definitely going to be reviewing. I do know that hospitals have become some of the critical infrastructure that was always of top priority, but our water, like I mentioned earlier, a water treatment facility lost power for an extended period of time. Our jail, that's a county function. It's not a function of the city, but the jail lost electricity for an extended period of time. And so there's some difficult, that's a question that we've been asking is and have asked of Oncor is what are the decision points that they make when they're prioritizing restoration of power and rolling blackouts that we haven't been able to get clarity on at this time, but that is certainly something that we will be seeking. On the subject of streets, I will say that I'm really thankful for our street crews. We've had at minimum 11 people rolling around the streets every hour of the day, sanding our streets and trying to make streets drivable and safe. There's still definitely streets that are icy and something that we need to be careful with. So I would urge people to continue to monitor the ice on the roads, drive very carefully and safe, even where ice is melting. There's still a lot of slush out there, so caution to drivers to make sure they exercise caution and are safe. But I'm very thankful for our street crews who have really been working around the clock to sand the streets in the city of Waco.
I as one who has been driving around the city of Waco, I so appreciate all of that, and I appreciate that many other drivers are heeding and slowing down and being careful. How has this affected the police, public safety? How has that been affected?
That's a great question, Joe. Our fire and police officers have been able to continue to provide great service to our community. Luckily, we have enough vehicles that are safe to drive on the roads that they were able to be responsive to any traditional public safety needs. But also have been really great partners in helping us look for leaks. Our police department was basically deputized to be on the lookout for leaks in their community and literally found water pouring out of closed church doors in the middle of the night and other, water flowing through a creek that shouldn't have water flowing through it in freezing temperatures. So thanks to the help of our police force and our fire department, we've been able to spot more leaks. Repair those leaks and again preserve our water system, which is at critical levels right now. So I'm thankful for them. Even last night, we were up at the convention center when those six 18-wheelers of water arrived. They came from out of town. And, you know, it's the little things that our city staff are doing that are creative. I want to give a shout-out to Jim Reed, who's in our street department. And he sanded the roadways all the way in to Waco and to the convention center, up to the doors of the convention center, so to make sure that those 18-wheelers would be able to get into our city and be deposited so that we can deliver them to our community. And just instances of city employees thinking ahead, putting in the hours, I'm so grateful for that. But last night, our police department and police officers were at 10 o'clock unloading pallets of water from these 18-wheelers into the convention center. It is truly an all team on deck, all hands on deck moment in the city. Our city attorney, city manager Jennifer Ritchie and Bradley Ford, Larry Holsey have literally been camping out in City Hall. Have been in their offices for hours and hours. Haven't seen their families for days. Bradley Ford, our city manager, missed his daughter's birthday and has just been basically living in City Hall. And I just can't thank enough our city staff members, our crews, our water crews and street crews for the time and energy that they've put in. This is a hard situation, and I know that there's been a lot of frustration in this moment, but I'm proud of the city of Waco efforts and our staff's efforts to keep Wacoans safe.
I just personally want to echo that appreciation. I have been around town. You know, I come have been coming into work and have seen around town how things are working. But what's invisible is what the city is doing, and we lose track of how hard the city is working and how hard the public service servants are working right now around the clock. And so
there's
just
a quote that I want to share. This was on someone posted this on Facebook. A city of Waco resident posted on Facebook about water staff. The water staff worked through the night outside my house last night. They came after 10 p.m. and they were still here at 2:30 a.m. But I had water this morning. How do you thank people for working in those temperatures and those hours? Bless them all. And I think that that is the story of how the city of Waco employee and staff have been responding, working at all hours and in all temperatures to make sure that people have access to clean water and that are safe. And so, again, there's a lot of stories I've been encouraging our team to try to capture the good things that are happening right now in the midst of the challenges so that we can remember and celebrate those when appropriate. We're in a crisis right now, and our focus is responding to it. But there's good things being done, and I'm thankful.
Well, it was a good quote to share, and I do appreciate that, and I appreciate that the sun's out today. And
Absolutely.
We're going to reaching a time when it's going to come above freezing, and we will get past this. Right now, one of the things, and I really don't know how this involves the city, but certainly know how it involves the citizens of the city, is food.
Yep.
I was at HEB the other night just because I was at HEB the other night. And there was really not much on the shelves. And the trucks couldn't come out from Temple. They were frozen in. They were not taking deliveries, and they were closing the store early, and it was packed. And there are people, you know, at my house, I have enough. I may not have the variety that I had, but there are people who are concerned about getting food, and even resupplying may take some time. Does the city have any response to that or anything to say about that?
We're in close communication with our, you know, HEB is the primary grocery store chain here in Waco, and we're in close communication with their leadership, and I've been able to talk to them, and while the severe weather did interrupt the food supply chain, HEB trucks are back on the road, and they have more than 1,500 HEB trailers going out today to quickly replenish the HEB stores. HEB has resumed manufacturing as a priority for their customers, and they're in strong supply of food, and their customers will soon see that on the shelves. So positive reports coming out of HEB with the number of trucks and trailers hitting the roads today to replenish the shelves, probably right when we need it the most.
Are you in touch with other leaders around the state? The whole state's been going through this, and I'm wondering whether you've been in touch with other leaders, how other places have been responding, and what lessons there are to learn from this crisis.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of lessons to learn, and I think that, to be honest with you, Joe, I think the debrief on what lessons we can learn are probably going to be for starting on Monday when the crisis begins to slow down a little bit. But, you know, right now I want to say that one of the lessons that I'm learning as a beneficiary of this is that Waco's had a strong legacy of good water planning. When so many other cities have gone on citywide boil water notice, millions and millions of Texans don't have access to clean potable water. Right now, as we sit here, Waco does. And that is a testament to the good, smart planning of leaders before me. I take no credit for it. It is good, smart leaders before me that have prepared for that. In anticipation of a moment like this. So I do think one of the lessons is that thoughtful planning matters. I think in regards to other lessons that we can learn, there's going to be a lot to debrief, and I look forward to that in the days ahead, and am committed to doing that. I'm committed to owning and taking responsibility for things that we could or should be doing better, and also committed to celebrating the smart and strategic planning and good deeds that we've kind of discussed on this program from the selfless, unsung heroes in our community who have been working to protect our citizens.
Do you have any particular questions that you have in mind that you want to dig into?
I think
into?
The electricity question is the main question that we're asking. Why were there parts of our community that couldn't have power restored for as long as they did? And like I mentioned earlier, although the city of Waco isn't an electric provider, I'll be using my voice as a representative of this community to ensure that we learn from that, and that whatever systematic changes need to be made to prohibit that from happening in the future, those changes will be made. So I look forward to that, and I know that our city manager and his team have a close network of relationships with people around the state, and have been exchanging information with the different cities on best practices in this moment of disaster, and I'm sure that we'll continue to have dialogue with them as we kind of learn best practices of moving forward too. Mm.
Change directions just a little bit away from disaster.
Sure.
In the middle of all of this, City Council met this mm-hmm. week and approved a new police chief. What can you tell us about her?
Cheryl Victorian is going to be our new police chief, and we're thrilled to have her come to our community. She has an amazing resume of work and education, as well as sterling references. I want to commend our city manager, Bradley Ford. He is the ultimate decision maker for this hire, but knowing the gravity of this hire, the importance of this hire, he put together a community panel of people that included representatives of all sectors of our city, as well as representation from our police officers association that represents the interest of police officers. And my heart and my goal for this hire would be that Bradley would be empowered and able to make a decision to find a chief that is going to keep Waco safe and that's going to build trust of both residents and police officers. I think that this hire is absolutely going to be able to do that. This panel that was put together, both the representatives of the police association, representing the interest of our police officers, and members of the community agreed that Chief Victorian was the person for this job. And so, so thrilling for me to hear that both the guys representing the officers and the folks representing the community were aligned on that, and believing that her credentials, the references that we've read, are going to definitely lead our department in a very positive direction. I want to thank our previous chief Ryan Holt, and our interim chief Frank Ginch. Waco's police department has been very stable in some really tumultuous times around our country, and so I'm thankful that Chief Victorian is inheriting a stable police department. It's something to celebrate. It's the first African-American woman police chief in Waco. It's definitely a historic moment. I'm thrilled that she will be moving into this role and excited about the history. And also just have to say, she's the best person for the job, period. Her references, her resume, she got the job because she's the best one for it. And I'm excited for the goodness that's going to come from her her service and leadership.
I'm just a few things that I had in front of me about her resume. It is a very impressive resume. She earned her doctorate degree in administration of justice from Texas Southern University. She's got a master's degree in criminal justice from the University of Houston and a bachelor's degree in public affairs, also from Texas Southern. And she started in law enforcement in Houston. Is that where she comes from?
Yes,
now?
Sir. Yep, she's coming from the Houston Police Department.
Coming from the Houston Police Department. And I know it was an extended search. There was, as I recall, the time was taken, even when there were other candidates there, to extend the search to make sure that the right candidate came forward and was chosen. And so the time that that took with the consideration of the trust of the community, the best choice for this community, is something that I know that a lot of people have been watching for quite some time. And so we're looking forward to seeing her come on board. When does she start?
It's in March, and I don't have the
middle of March.
Yeah, I think that's right.
She'll be starting, so she's not coming on to in the middle of the snow.
But. Yeah, she's not here now. Frank Yinch is going to continue serving as the interim chief for the weeks ahead, and we'll, I know, finish strong. And but we're very excited to have her come on board.
Anything else quickly going on with the city that you'd like to tell us about coming
up?
I
just want to remind people, if you see a leak, please call 254-299-2489. Just want to give another thank you to our city employees who have worked hard.
Is there a place online or somewhere people can go to get information?
Absolutely. If you have any questions about the Waco weather situation, you can go to waco-texas.com. That's waco-texas.com. It's Black History Month, so I thought we could end with a really great quote from a famous Waco resident, Jules Bledsoe, and he said, "In order to not pass out of this world, forgotten in a few years, do some unselfish good. It does not take genius or fame or fortune. All it requires is a good heart and a kindly spirit." And that's from one of our famous Black residents, Jules Bledsoe, some Waco Black History Month trivia. And I think that quote is so relevant for today. And I think as we move forward this week, just doing that good, conserving water, checking on your neighbors, providing support, being the community that is part of Waco's DNA. The DNA of Waco is doing good, being unselfish, responding by loving your neighbor. And I think that I encourage our community to continue to do that in the days ahead.
Well, Mayor Dylan Meek, I want to thank you so much for making the time. I know your schedule must be just crazy right now this week.
It's my honor to be here.
So thank you so much. Downtown Depot will return on March 5th.
This conversation was recorded at 10:30 a.m. on February the 19th, 2021 in the KWBU studio.